Thank you, Brent. I love that picture. Two pieces of wood and three nails. Is that what it was? Not a whole lot, we would think. And yet, the price that he paid, we could never calculate. More than we could ever imagine. More than the whole world could ever pay. And Christ paid it on our behalf. He said, "It is finished." And that's the joy. That's why we have such a joy in our hearts. Even in the midst of a difficult world, lots going on. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We know the Bible tells us what's coming, and we are living in a very interesting time. It's exciting to be a part of the church and the body of Christ. And as we see Bible prophecy unfold, we recognize we're in the midst of a Bible story. So be in prayer for the nation of Israel. Be in prayer for our governments. Be in prayer for the governments of this world. Ultimately, be trusting the Lord God, though. We know He's in control. We don't have to lose our minds or panic. You know, things are going to do what they're going to do. But God is in control, and we can trust Him. I'm thankful, though, that the Lord provided a bridge that bridges the gap, that great gulf that's fixed, we read about in Scripture. We know that there is access now to God. We fall short of the glory of God, but through Jesus Christ, we can be saved. So I hope that you are today. I hope that you have that joy, that you are confident in Christ. You've trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, and you're born again. You know you're safe. And it's not just a free ticket to heaven. You're not waving it in God's face, saying, "Hi, I'll do what I want. Thanks for this. You died for me." You're praising Him every day, and you're grateful, and you're serving Him as best you can with His help because you love Him, and we're grateful. I know I'm grateful. I don't always show it, but I want to. And I want to thank the Lord and be grateful every day for that salvation. So thank you for the reminder this morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, please. Folks, it's great to be with you this morning. Acts chapter 18. Had a good weekend. Saturdays, the last couple of Saturdays, we've had lots of outdoor activity. And it's just been that great weather. You know, it's kind of mild. And funny story yesterday, my wife is not going to want me to share this. Oh, she'll forgive me, though. She went through a lot of effort to book a sleigh ride. What a fun day we had. Out there in Havelock, there's this organization, this family out there that has a sleigh ride. And so she made all the reservations, the whole family, and her mom and dad and sister and our children and grandson. It was all a lot of fun. And we went out to this sleigh ride. And while we were on this sleigh ride, my wife got a phone call, and it was from a lady. And she asked, "Are you guys still going to be here at 11 o'clock for the sleigh ride?" And which was a funny question when you're on a sleigh being pulled by horses. And after some conversation and a little thinking, we realized that I'm talking to the guy that was pulling the sleigh or that was leading the horses. We realized that there were three places in a very small distance that offered sleigh rides. So we had the right phone number, the wrong address. We saw the sign, "Sleigh rides here." We pulled in. He said, "Good to have you here. Jump on the sleigh. Let's go." Only to find out that we were at the wrong place. But we had a lovely sleigh ride, and my wife, wasn't her fault. You know, we accidents happen. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. I had to call that lady back, and apparently this has happened before. So anyway, we're not the first. But I'm thankful for what God is doing. Thankful for this season. And though there is a lot going on in our world, it is so wonderful that we have our confidence in Christ. And we don't look around us without pity and concern. We are concerned. We do pity those around us. But we have a hope, and we have a joy. And as we've been studying here through Acts, the early church had that joy. And it was not always easy to maintain it, but they did. And it took courage, and it took encouragement to maintain that walk with the Lord and to be joyful and courageous in the midst of difficulties. We're going to break bread together this morning, and in a little while, I'll ask the men to distribute the wine and the bread. If you know the Lord today, you're born again and walking with Him, then of course we want to break bread around His table. But before we do, Acts chapter 18, I want to just revisit a few thoughts and remind us of a few things that we've already observed in this chapter. Little tidbits of wonderful truths. You know, a nugget of gold isn't very big. You can stick it in your pocket, but it changed your whole life. Especially these days. I don't know what it's going for an ounce, but it's a lot. More than what I could afford. A nugget of gold in the Word of God is worth way more. And the Scriptures are littered with gold nuggets all throughout it. And so in this chapter, I know we were in the last chapter for I think 5 weeks, but there's so many good things in here. I just don't want to miss anything. So let's take a look at this. I'm going to pray, and I want to revisit a few thoughts, and then we're going to get into some new territory. And believe it or not, Lord willing, we'll finish the second missionary trip this morning that Paul is on. And then we'll start the third one next week. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for your word now as we look into it. This is, Lord, this is our joy as well. Not only that, through Jesus Christ, we are redeemed, reconciled unto you, Father. Thank you so much that we can be called the children of God through what Christ accomplished on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice on our behalf, for dying for us, for taking our sin on your body and suffering in our place, O God. Thank you that when we trust in you, we are born again and saved. And Lord, as we learn and as we grow, we look to your word to guide us. We thank you for the scriptures. We pray this morning that you would give to each of us here today something special, a nugget of truth, the Lord would change our lives. We ask, Father, that you would just minister through your Spirit today to every heart, Father. We just pray in mighty ways, O God. We know that you can, and we pray that you will, and believe that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting again, just quickly, I'm going to reiterate a few of these truths, and I might that we already looked at, and I might reference the scriptures as we go through this. But the first thing I want to remind us of is that we have been talking about learning to trust in just Him, and this is one of the things that Paul and the other missionaries and apostles and disciples were learning and had to learn throughout their journeys, throughout their pilgrimages, to trust in just Him, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, of course, we've mentioned this many times, they've been kicked out, sent out, thrown out, abused, chased out of many different communities. And that can get a little old after a while. You know, Paul probably wasn't looking forward to any more beatings and almost to death in one town, one village that he was in. And now we find him in Corinth. And we talked about the fact that when we trust in just him, it helps us have courage. And courage is something that we have as Christians. Christian soldiers need courage. And the scriptures tell us all over the place, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, neither be thou afraid. We can trust in just him, and we can find our courage. And one of the ways that we find our courage is through one another. As Aquila and Priscilla did for Paul, we encourage each other, right? And we give each other courage by encouraging each other. You can do it. I'm praying for you. Yeah, we fall in sin from time to time. A just man does. But I'm praying that you'll have victory over that sin. I'm praying that you'll have confidence in Christ and have victory over these challenges that you face. And so we encourage each other to have courage and to trust in just Him as we make our own journeys throughout this life. Verse 4 reminded us that Paul went to the Jews first, and that was based on the command of his Lord and Savior. Verse 5, we remembered that he was pressed in the Spirit, and sometimes as Christians, we too are pressed in our spirit. And it says here in verse 5, remember, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He is the Messiah. Think of that today. We know this truth. I hope that you know this truth, but this is what we are pressed in our spirit to share with the world around us. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is. He is God's Son, and He left heaven above and the glories of heaven, and He took upon Himself the form of a man. He became a servant and yielded even to the death of the cross for the joy that was set down before Him. And so Paul was teaching Jesus is the Messiah. He is Christ, the Son of God. And this was the message. And he was pressed in his spirit to preach this no matter what. No matter how many beatings he took or how many times he was in prison or what they threatened him with, he couldn't help it. He couldn't resist. He was pressed, motivated, convicted, pushed by the Spirit of God to open up his mouth. And he had the courage but also the encouragement to do exactly that. A little further down, we saw here in verse 6 how they blasphemed him, and he shook off the dust on his clothes, and he said, okay, you don't want it? Then I'm going to take it to the Gentiles. And he shook off the dust and put his pearls in his pocket, as it were. You know, there are times when we have to put our pearls in our pocket and not allow them to be trampled under feet anymore. And people are allowed to make up their mind. People are allowed to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and choose not to believe. And what can you do except pray for them and be faithful? And there are times when we have to continue to move on. And so Paul would do the same thing. Every community he went to, he would go to the synagogue. He would seek the seekers, those that were willing to listen and hear. And he worked with them first. And so Paul says, fine, I'm going to go ahead and go to the Gentiles. Verse 8, remember he meets a fellow by the name of Justus, who worshiped God. And then in verse 8 it says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. And by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, let me read this to you just quickly. This fellow by the name of Crispus has a special memory with Paul. It says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus. Crispus and Gaius, he says. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue at this point, had the privilege of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and being baptized into the church and into the body of Christ. And so it's neat. I love the fact that we can cross-reference that and see even in the book of Corinthians that Crispus was baptized by Paul. And that's an exciting thing when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Goes on to say this just quickly. Verse 9, and I'll repeat this as well as quick as I can. Jesus Christ himself shows up to encourage Paul. Again, because of the threats, because it can be discouraging sometimes in this world. The courage and the encouragement comes not only through the body of Christ, but through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Literally through the words of Christ, Paul is encouraged to have courage. And remember, we talked about this as well. He said, don't be afraid. Speak, don't be silent, or speak and hold not thy peace. I am with you. You are not alone. Those were the four points that we looked at quickly. And I can't help but just love that the Lord would speak those same things to us, and he does through his word, even today. Four things that he says. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There are times when we face fear. I can remember saying that to myself when I went in for back surgery, and it was no big deal, but, you know, they're doing the anesthesia, and, you know, something could always go wrong. And I remember there's a little bit of, okay, I hope everything goes well, Lord, and I trusted the Lord, and I reminded myself he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Probably others have done the same thing, Debbie and Maria and different ones that have undergone surgery. We sometimes have to look to the Lord and say, okay, God, I'm looking to you to help me. Maybe it's a job situation, an employment situation, a big decision. He would say to us, don't be afraid. That's what he said. And especially when we share our faith, when we share our light, don't be afraid or be not afraid, he says. Then he says, speak, don't be silent. You know, a lot of times as Christians, what we learn in life is if we would just shut up, we'd probably have a lot easier time, wouldn't we? Yeah, that's why we laugh. We know, just shut up. Just don't talk about your God. Don't talk about your faith. Don't talk about the fact that there's only one God and Jesus Christ is the only hope, that there's only forgiveness through Christ. If we would just stop, that's exactly what they told Paul to do and the rest of those men of God and women of God. Stop preaching Jesus. Stop it. We don't want to hear this. They're about to say it to him again here, even in Corinth. They're going to do everything they can to keep him from talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ literally said to Paul, don't listen to them. You don't hold your peace. You speak. You tell them that I am the Messiah. They don't like it. They don't believe it. Doesn't matter. It's still true. And it's their only hope. And so likewise, as Christians, we take this advice. We're not afraid. We have encouragement. We have courage even from the Lord himself. And we're not going to be silent. We're going to share Jesus Christ with those around us. I had a good friend many years ago. And when I walked away from the Lord, me and this good friend walked together. You know, we became good friends. And I cared about this guy, and he cared about me. And I was more concerned, though, at that season of my life with what I wanted, not what God wanted for me. And I wasn't faithful. And I never shared the Lord Jesus Christ with this guy. And I never bothered to take the time to share with him that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that you can be saved. I chose to be silent instead because I didn't want to be laughed at. I didn't want the persecution. And the conviction was always there. And I certainly regretted my unwillingness to be faithful with the gospel when he lost his life and he left this world. And I remember being a part of that funeral and standing there not knowing for sure, even still to this day. I got a little courage up near the end of it. 3 months before he left this world, the Lord allowed me the opportunity to sit down with him. And finally, I had the courage to share the gospel, where in so many years I didn't. But you know, God knows we will regret allowing people to walk through this life and step into hell without warning them. And so we have to be faithful. And he says, don't be silent. You be faithful. You love those people around them. You point them to Jesus Christ. You be faithful. And so Paul needs the encouragement just like we do. Don't hold your peace, Christian. Be gracious. Be loving. Speak the truth in love. Use salt and grace. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, but speak the truth. Don't hold your peace. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? He said, I'm with you. Verse 10, for I am with thee. I'm with you. I am with you. And he would say the same thing to us. What a wonderful way to encourage ourselves to know that God himself has said, we don't have to be afraid. I am allowed to say these things. God himself has told me. I have his permission to speak these things to the world around me, and it makes no difference who or what they say. I have God's permission. And there is no one that can stand opposed to God. They may not like the messenger, and they may even shoot the messenger, and they often do. But what difference does that make? I have a mandate. I have a calling to be light, to speak truth. And there's no way I can rest knowing that those around me who I love are leaving this world lost. I can't remain silent. This was what drove Paul. He's about to go on his third missionary journey. Like he's just not going to stop until the day they finally just take his life because they can't take his voice. He will not be silent. And Christian, we have to do the same. You're going to lose some things. Maybe you'll lose some jobs. Maybe you'll lose some friends. Maybe you'll lose some family members. Maybe you'll lose some interest in this life to your flesh. You'll have to give up some things, but it's going to be worth it. Walk with the Lord. Don't hold your peace. Share the truth. If you know Christ, remember that he is with you, and you are not alone. You know what he was saying? There's others in this city. Paul spent the most time in Corinth than he did in any other place he visited on his mission trips. From what we understand, he spent a year and a half, and a little longer than that, he spent in Corinth. You know, he was told by the Lord, don't be afraid. I'm going to use you here. You're going to be here for a while. And so Paul just trusted the Lord, and he was there for a while. And he was able to do a wonderful work. People we're going to meet some people today that were ministered to under Paul's faithful ministry. And the encouragement that he got from the Lord made a difference. The encouragement that he got from one another, from the other believers, made a difference. Just quickly now, it says in verse 11, he continued there a year and 6 months. You know, he wasn't in a hurry. I love people that value discipleship and mentorship. They recognize that when someone gets saved, you gotta walk beside them, and you gotta be there with them. You gotta help them to understand what the scriptures teach, and that it's not gonna be easy, but they have help, and like soldiers, we got each other's back, and this is what Paul was doing. He wasn't in a hurry. You know, here's some gospel tracts, I gotta go, things to do. He's like, oh, I'm gonna sit down and teach you, I'm gonna minister to you, I'm gonna show you. I want you to know. Look what it says in verse 11. It says, teaching the word of God among them. That was his whole system. Paul, this great evangelist, this great missionary, what was your secret? What tricks were in your bag, Paul? What did you use? What was the glitz and the glamour that led all these people to Christ through your work? Oh, I just shared what the Bible says. This is it. This is my suitcase full of tricks. No tricks, all truth. He shared the word of God. And sometimes the enemy himself will distract us into thinking we've got to offer everything and anything else. And what do they like? What is the world offering? What is it that I can use as baits? You know, at the end of the day, here's my thinking on this. And it sounds a little frank, but I think I'll say it anyway. If the word of God himself is not enough to bring people to a church, there's nothing else any better that I have to offer. There just isn't. If you will not come to listen to God himself speak to you in a miraculous way through his word and through the Spirit of God, if that is not enough to get you into the seats of a church that loves the Lord, then there's nothing else that I have that's any better than that. We might think, well, if you offer me, you know, money, free beer, or free trip somewhere, then I'll come to church. Well, you know, don't waste your own time. What good is that? Gain the whole world, lose your own soul. The point is, it's the word of God that changes hearts and lives and eternity. The word of God is what Paul preached. This is one of the reasons why the Lord directs us to the scriptures. Know what it says. Know how to use it. Study to show yourselves approved. This is the key. When people hear the truth, it will convict. Some people will despise it. Some people will commit and submit to the Lord under it. It will not return void. It will do some work. But we need to know it, and we need to be willing to share it. I just love the fact that this is what Paul does. There's no tricks here. He simply teaches the Word of God among them. That's what he did. And that's all we have to do. Share what the Bible says. Share what the truth is, what Jesus Christ teaches. And God will bless it. Verse 12, it says, "And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat." This is why last week we talked about being faith-filled instead of fear-filled. Don't be fearful, be faithful, because there's going to be scary moments. And I'll tell you, it's easy for us to talk about it. There's a gentleman in Canada right now, his name's Barry Newfield. Anybody heard that name? Okay, some of you have. Barry Newfield is in Chilliwack, B.C. He was a trustee on a school board, I believe. Very well-educated man, very well-respected man, who had an opinion that he shared publicly that cost him $750,000, a fine he just received a couple of weeks ago. His opinion had to do with genders. There were only two, he said, male and female, according to the Word of God. He is absolutely right. But these days, you risk an awful lot to not hold your peace, to speak truth. And this is the reason why we need to be so careful to trust the Lord when he says, "Don't be afraid, I'm with you." Because sometimes it gets scary. And it's a whole new ballgame when a guy named Gallio, who's governor of the land, decides that he needs to have a talk with you. People aren't happy with you. And you're hauled before the government officials, people that make the laws and have the authority and call the shots and make life hard or easy for you according to their choosing, regardless of what you believe. It takes a lot of courage. It's not easy. Here we see Paul before Gallio. The Jews make insurrection against Paul. They drag him before the judgment seat. They're not happy. And I love this because it says, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Well, at least they're being honest. They want us to worship God the way God wants us to instead of the way that we want to, and we need something done about that. That's what they were saying. Well, Gallio wasn't maybe the best of fellows, but at least in this he had some thinking, some right thinking. Verse 14, it says, "And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason, would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." In other words, I'm not interested in your religion or what you do or what you believe in regards to your gods. I'm a politician. That's none of my concern. He was absolutely right on that account. And so I love the fact that it says here, Paul was about to open his mouth. And just before he's allowed to say anything, or before one word, one syllable slips out of his mouth, Gallio is defending him. You know what God said? "Don't be afraid. I am with you. You have many people, or I have many people in this city. I'm going to work out the details. And yeah, I know the other towns and cities that you were in, you were chased out. You didn't spend very much time there, but I got some work for you to do in Corinth. So don't worry about it." And so he's hauled before the governors, the magistrates, as it were, and Gallio himself says, this is no matter for me to deal with. Look yourselves to it. And by the way, if Gallio had made some kind of a decree that this was illegal, that Paul couldn't do this, that would have been the end of the mission trip in Corinth and would have been the end of the gospel to that neck of the woods in the world. But God knew what he was doing, of course, and that door was left wide open. And Paul took full advantage of it. Even in verse 18, it says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while." He ain't in a hurry to leave this town. God had work for him to do, and he didn't have to be afraid. I love that. He just had to trust the Lord. He was about to open his mouth, and Gallio actually defends him. I can remember once, the Lord gave me a really neat example of this in my own life years ago. Working in social work, doing social work, as a big brother, a counselor, a support worker, I was involved in the life of a young fellow having a hard time, and he was ward of the state, so to speak. So he didn't have, his guardians weren't even related to him, but they were making decisions for him. And anyway, through the events and through my work, I was able to work with this fellow, and we spent some time together. And, And after several months, of course, he came to understand what I believed and that I was a Christian. And he even started to attend youth group. And throughout that summer, this young man was kicked out of his school the spring before, several months before the year ended, because he had brought something to school that was illegal. And so anyway, we're working together, we're doing our thing, and he's learning. Not so much about, or just about social life and what not to do and what to do morally, but also what the Bible has to say about some things. And he's interested, and he's learning, and he's growing. And he makes a profession of salvation. And then school starts, and he starts bringing a Bible to school. And then I get a phone call. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people that want to talk to me because they think I've overstepped my boundaries. And they want to grill me. They want to make sure that if there's any fault, that I'm going to hear about it. So I was called into a big old fancy office, and there was about seven or eight people sitting around there, and I was shaking in my boots, and I thought, that's the end of this job, and this should be interesting. And I remember going in, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. This is just what happened. And I remember going in and sitting down, and the gal that had all the authority over this young man's life and who was directing me said, why are we here today? And then somebody mentioned the work that I had been doing and the example and the influence and how fearful they were that this young man had brought a Bible to school. Can you imagine? We're afraid he brought a Bible. We're afraid he's becoming an extremist of some kind. The year before it was a knife. They had a problem with that, but they didn't call a meeting. The next year that he brings a Bible, now they've got a big problem. They're more afraid of that. And I just remember sitting there praying, okay, this is probably going to, you know, I know how this is going to go. So be it. That's fine. The Lord will look after me. And before I could open my mouth, the individual that had all the authority rebuked and reprimanded the entire group for wasting my time and her time, and took a moment to praise me for the good work that I was doing and acknowledge some of that good work, dismissed me, the first one out the door, and the rest slowly followed behind as I walked out of that building. I never said a word. And this is what God will do. This is the power that we have access to. It's not always comfortable, but we are always safe in God's will, no matter what it looks like. And this is such a wonderful illustration. Paul had to go through these things. Not fun. But guess what? God's like, yeah, I'm going to show a bunch of other Christians down the road how to do this. So I'm going to use you as a bit of an example, just like he used his own son to be our example. Paul is defended by someone who has no interest in the things of the Lord. And only God can work that out. Just quickly here, we're almost out of time. We've got to break bread, or I want us to make sure we spend time to break bread here this morning. But verse 17, they're not done yet. The Jews have had their go at Paul. Now the Greeks are going to have their go at Paul. And they're upset as well for different reasons, but over the same guy. And verse 17, it says that the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of these things, which was a little unfair. Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, gets whooped because he wasn't anti-Paul enough, because he didn't stop these things, and Gallio's like, whatever, again, I'm a politician, not a religious guy, so he didn't care. Interestingly, just as we wrap this up, Sosthenes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Go ahead and turn there, because I love this. Paul, Sosthenes somehow acquired the job of being chief of the chief ruler of the synagogue, but you'll remember it was Crispus before that. Crispus got saved. Then he got baptized by Paul, and he lost that position. And now we have another guy named Sosthenes who takes that position only to get a fine beating by a bunch of Greeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, and I have no problem, though it's impossible to prove beyond the shadow of any doubt, but I have no problem believing that it's the same guy. In verse 1, it says, 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. And there's a really strong indication here that the same guy came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and trusted in him and is saved. Even though it took a bit of a beating, something must have clicked. Paul got to be a part of all these things. Gallio cared for none of these things, but Paul cared enough to minister there and to spend a good while, as it says. Just quickly, verse 19, He comes to Ephesus now. He's beginning to wrap up this missionary journey. He's headed home. He goes to Ephesus. You'll remember in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let Paul go to Ephesus. Asia, Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. This is where Ephesus was. And remember in verse 6 of chapter 16 in Acts, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let Paul go to Ephesus, or Asia, it says there in verse 6. But now, he is. And again, it's according to the timing of God. I love the fact that when we read that verse in chapter 16, we might have wondered why the Holy Spirit didn't want Paul to bring the gospel to the people in Ephesus. Well, he did, just not at that moment. And so now we see a little further down the line, the Spirit is like, okay, now you're going to Ephesus. We want to go ahead. We're going to leave Aquila and Priscilla, who you have met and have now ministered with in Corinth. We're going to bring them with you, and we're going to leave them in Ephesus. Isn't it amazing to see the strategies of God and how he uses all of us? And this is exactly what happens. It says here in verse 20, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. He says, no, guys, I got to go. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Verse 18 references Aquila and Priscilla, by the way, and the fact that they stayed behind. Verse 21, it says, if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. And what that little phrase, if God will, means, Lord willing. James chapter 4 references that in verse 15. If the Lord will. We don't say we're going to do this and we're going to do that, but if the Lord will, if it's what God wants. And so Paul had been learning this the whole time. If this is what God wants, this is what's going to happen. And this is what I want, what God wants. If God will, he said, he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. He had made a vow, by the way, in the midst of all that, and shaved his head. And likely the first thing he does is he heads to the synagogue in Jerusalem and finishes his vow, Nazarite vow, likely. But he's home. He's back in Antioch again. Second missionary journey has come to an end. And as I said, we got to close, but there are so many nuggets just in that last little passage of one chapter. And it's so easy to miss some of those nuggets in there. But anyway, I like to try to dig them out. It's a lot of fun to consider them and let the Lord teach us the things that he was teaching other people. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And then I'm going to ask the men if they would distribute the wine and the bread. Father, we thank you again for your word this morning, for these things that we can learn. Thank you for Paul, his faithfulness, the faithfulness of the early church. Thank you for Christ, Father, and for your word that we can learn from these accounts. And it directs us as the church a little further down the road. Father, just as we close today, we pray two things. One, that if there is even one person here that's not trusting in Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they'd take a moment to pull me aside or maybe someone they know here who knows the Lord and just have a conversation and come to know for sure. Today, Lord, I pray that they would trust in Jesus and be born again. They would make sure that they know for sure. And then, Father, as Christians here today, Lord, just help us, Father, to consider our walk with you. Father, are we encouraging others? Are we taking up courage? Are we remembering what you told us? Not to be afraid, not to be silent, to speak the truth, that you will be with us. We are not alone. Help us, Father, as believers today to remember these truths. They apply to us as well. They are for us as well, that we would be courageous. We thank you again for your word. We pray that you would bless our time as we break bread now in these few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just going to ask the men if they would distribute the wine and the bread here. While they're doing that, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just want to share a couple of thoughts here. We often refer to this passage when we break bread together, and I never mean it to come off as an addition to our service. This isn't just a quick little thing that we do just to get it done and out of the way. It's because I talk too long and we run out of time. So just to be frank, but it is a very sweet time that we get to spend together around the Lord's table. That's what this is. When we refer to the Lord's table, that's what this is. And so as disciples of Christ, Christians, and if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're following him, you're being obedient, you've been baptized. The Bible says that we have fellowship with him, and we come and we break bread and we remember his death. That's the whole point of communion. It's to remember what he did for us, that he died for us, that he rose from the dead. And the Bible says to remember that, to honor him by meeting together in this way. And so I want to read here from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning," thank you, sir, "the Lord's body." And so when we meet together in this way, because of what Paul taught here in his letter to the Corinthians, we are careful to examine ourselves to make sure, number one, I am trusting Jesus as my Savior. Nothing else. Nothing else. Christ is my Lord. And then secondly, that I'm in a right relationship with him. That I'm not secretly sinning against him on a daily basis habitually, and I'm just not acknowledging that, and I'm pretending it's not happening. And God knows, and I know God knows, but I'm going to go ahead and pretend that he doesn't know and nobody cares. But he does care. So when we break bread together, it's important that I examine myself, and if there's some unconfessed sin in my life or our life, that we say, "Lord, forgive me," so that I don't drink and eat damnation to myself. And it's not a matter of we can't lose our salvation, but it's a matter of our relationship and being honest with the Lord as we break bread. Remember, Judas wasn't honest. He sat at that table, but he was betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important that we examine ourselves and make sure that we're walking with the Lord. So just before I ask the men to pray and ask the blessing on the bread and the cup, let's just take a moment and we'll just quietly examine our own hearts before the Lord. And if there's something in my life or our lives that we know shouldn't be there, he'll show us. And we can confess it right here and now. And we can ask for his forgiveness and his help to overcome that and to walk in a right relationship with him even as we leave here today. So let's just take a moment. And again, we'll just pray quietly to ourselves. Amen. I'm going to ask if Brother Gary would ask the blessing on the bread here this morning, please, sir. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, again it says in verse 24, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So we do. I'm going to ask if Brother Gee would ask the blessing on the cup here, please, this morning. Thank you, sir.
Brother, I already have the privilege to pray.
Okay, yes, sir. Sure. Larry, would you ask a blessing on the cup here, please, this morning?
Father in heaven, again, thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for knowing and remembering, Lord, that you died upon the cross, Lord. Blood was shed. That shedding of blood, Lord, our forgiveness of sins, taken care of. We just thank you for that, Lord. And you know, Lord, that if there's something here, we just pray that today would be the day that we come to know this.
Amen. Lord, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ also said these words, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. And we praise God for that sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we sing a hymn before we leave here today, one last time, if you would. Thank you, Nancy. As she comes, let's turn to 221. We're going to sing the first and the last verse of Lead Me to Calvary. 221. Let's stand together as we sing, please.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks.